We have this week two parashas. Parashas Tazriah Mitzrayah. Two parashas. First, the parasha begins. Most of the parasha, Parashas Tazriah and Parashas Mitzrayah, deal exclusively with, not 100%, but 95% with the laws of a Mitzrayah. The laws of a man who is in as Saras and is in quarantine. Now, by the way, now that we're dealing with this situation, everything has a new perspective. Whatever you look at, it's all about Corona. It's all about quarantine. I sent someone a message, a clip, and the person sent back to me, "What does this have something to do with Corona?" So I said, "Everything has to do with Corona. There's nothing that we do anymore that does not have something to do with Corona. It's totally consumed us in every fashion." And what's so disturbing is that now when you look at a pasuk in Chumash, or you read a line in the Gemara, you are subconsciously interpreting it. You're looking at it and you're interpreting it in reference in the lens of Corona. So why am I saying that? Because this whole parasha now, it stands out. I can't even, every word, every pasuk of this parasha, it feels like it's speaking to us through the lens of Corona. What do I mean? Most of the two parashas, Tazriah Mitzrayah, deal with the laws of a Mitzrayah. Mitzrayah Saras, Negat Saras, the Kohen comes, he puts him in quarantine, and he puts him in quarantine, and he has to wait. He has to wait until the Kohen comes back, the whole process. Isn't that what we're doing over here? We have been sent out of the Machaneh. A person as Saras is not allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to be in Yerushalayim. He has to be sent chutz migimel machanos, has to be locked up, and has to wait, and wait, and wait. And then the Kohen comes, and the Kohen makes a declaration. He looks, maybe, yeah, another week, maybe not, maybe, yeah. Isn't that what we're going on? Isn't that exactly what's going on? That's exactly what's going on over here. We over here, we have been sent away from the places that we are so familiar with, that we're so accustomed to. We're locked up. And we're just waiting and waiting for the next piece of information. Ubo HaKoyen. The Kohen will come and will tell us, what is the situation? What is the plan going forward? Can we return? Do we have to wait more? If we do return, there's going to be a whole procedure. What you have to do? You don't just come back in one shot. You first have to take the birds. And then you have to wait another 7 days. There's a gradual procedure that is necessary until we make our final return. Isn't that what's written in the parasha? Definitely. But before we get to that part, we have one little section which stands out in a very bizarre way. The laws of a woman who give birth. The parasha begins, Isha ki sazriv yol dezachar, she's tamei for 7 days, she's tar for 33 days. If she gives birth to a nekeva, she's tamei for 14 days, she's tahara for 66 days. What in the world is that doing in Parashas Tazriah Mitzrayah? If the entire parasha deals with the laws of a Mitzrayah, why do we have to also have the laws of childbirth? Why was that stuck into this parasha? Why don't we include the words of childbirth at the end of Parashas Shemini? And then we can start the parasha of Tazriah Mitzrayah with exclusively the laws of Tzaras. If you were arranging the parashiyos, I have no doubt in my mind that you would take these few psukim, the first half of the first aliyah of Tazriah, and you would put it in the end of Parashas Shemini with all the laws of all the other related laws. And the fact, as Rashi explains, that the laws of man come after the laws of animals, after the Torah. It would fit better in Parashat Shemini than being put in these two parashas, which deal exclusively with laws of Saras. And the answer is very obvious. What the answer is that a woman who gives birth is also quarantined. A woman who is a nida is in quarantine. That's the halacha. A woman who is in nida is set aside. She is pushed away. She is sent out of... In time of Chazal, a woman who is in nida, there were two homes. There was the regular home, and there was the home that a woman would spend her time when she was tameya in order not to contaminate the home. So here the pasuk says, a woman who gives birth, she's just like a nida. A nida is pushed away, she's sent outside of her primary residence. So to a woman who gives birth is also pushed away, sent outside of her primary residence. For how long? For a male, 7 days. For a female, 14 days. And then you know what? Yes?
Do you recall the word for excommunication?
Nadui. Nidui. That's the same word the Torah uses for a woman who is a nida. A woman who is a nida is a woman who is excommunicated to a certain degree. It's pushed away. Nadui. She's pushed away from society. The pasuk says very clearly, the El Hamikdash Loi Savoy. A woman who gave birth is not allowed to come into the Mikdash. Not only when she's a nida, even during the days of Tahara. Let's explain. Isha ki sazria, the older zohar, vitam oshivas yamim. Oh, she gave birth, she's tameya for 7 days, just like kimei nidas devoisa titla, just like a nida. For 7 days, she's really pushed away. Push her away for 7 days, just like you push away a nida. Oh, now it's over? It ain't over. Uvayoyim hashmini yimol besar los. Okay, day 8 is a bris mila. Ushloishim yoyim ushloishis yamim. She's teishe b'dmei tohara. But yet, just because she's tohara, she's still pushed away. B'chol kodesh loy siga of yel hamikdash loy savoy. She still can't come into the Beis Hamikdash for 33 days. Even though she's not Temeya, she's Mutal Labala, but she still is going to be pushed away from the Beis Hamikdash. Ad Miloy Simei Tohara. And what about in a Keva? Oh, she pushed her away for 80 days. That is the common denominator of a Yoledes and the laws of Tsaras. A man or a woman has Tsaras, they're sent away Chutz Nigimel Machanois. And it's not so easy to come back. It's a very long wait. It's a long wait. You have to wait and wait for the kohen to come and to inspect and look. And then when the kohen says you're okay, you have to go through a very long process of tahara by first shaving off all of your hair and bringing birds and then waiting another week and then bringing korbanos till finally you can reemerge and come back to the Beis HaMikdash. You're pushed away for a very long period of time. And the beginning of the parasha is another example of where a person is sent away for a very long period of time from the Beis HaMikdash. And that is a Yoledes. For 30, for 40 days for a male, and for 80 days for a female. That is the theme of Parshas Tazria Mitzora. The theme is being sent away from the Mikdash. The Mikdash Ma'at. There is no one that identifies with these two parashas more than Klal Yisrael in recent times. I mean, since in our lifetime for sure, and who knows how far back can we identify with what it says over here, this principle of being pushed away, this common denominator between these two sections of the parasha. But there's a very powerful lesson, and that is there's a very big difference when a woman is sent away from the Beis HaMikdash because she gave birth to a child versus the situation when a man or a woman is sent away from the Beis HaMikdash because they have a negat saras. To an observer, it's the same. You look at this woman, how come you don't go to, and you just observe her, you track her cell phone. Okay, today in Israel, they track your cell phone. They track your cell phone. If the person is supposed to be in quarantine, they check out where he's going, where he is. They can put a bracelet on your ankle to see where you're going. To the observer, a woman who has given birth and a man who has saras are exactly the same. They ain't going nowhere. They're sitting chutz legimel machanois. They put them up in a hotel in Eilat. Eilat, you sit there in a hotel and you just wait it out. But if you go into the mind of the one who has tsaras and into the mind of the woman who gave birth and is now in a hotel, she had a baby and can't go to the Beis HaMikdash, they're in a very different frame of mind. The woman who gave birth to a child is enjoying incredible simcha, has incredible joy that she is a mother. She has brought into this world a human being. But you can't go to the Beis HaMikdash for 80 days. So, that's the way Hashem made the world. When you give birth, there's tumah. How does this work? I don't know. I have no idea how this works. We can all read the psukim and try to figure this out, what this is all about. You can quote all the midrashim, that when a woman has in her body kedusha, and when the kedusha leaves, that's not for now. That's not our topic of discussion. The reality is, the way Hashem made the world is that when a woman brings into this world blessing that's beyond description, there's a process. And the process demands of her to be sent away. V'el hamikdash lo yavoy. But if you'll have a conversation with her, you'll say to her, Mazel Tov. May you have a lot of nachas from your new addition. Next door to her, in the hotel, there's another fellow who's also been sent out chutz migimel machanos. And you know why he's sent out migimel machanos? Tame bodad yeh michutz machane moishavai. He's basically sitting shiva. He's sitting shiva. He has to go let his hair grow long. He has to rip his clothing. Tame yikra. He has to tell the world, I'm tame. I'm a sinner. I have tsaras. I have leprosy. He is not a happy camper. He is not a happy camper. He is in a lot of trouble. He needs therapy. He needs medicine. He needs spiritual rehabilitation. So look at this. You have here in these two parashiyos, you have here two people that are identical. They're both sitting michutz lamachaneh in a hotel in Eilat. They're sitting there or up north somewhere. They're next to each other. Both of them are forbidden to return to society. V'el hamikdash loy savay. And yet when you'll have a conversation with them, to one you'll say, Hamokoyim yinachem eschem. And to the other you'll say, Mazel Tov. You had a baby. Unbelievable. From the soldiers sitting in the bunker looking at their cell phones and tracking them, making sure they're not going anywhere, you can't see the difference. You don't see any difference between them. But when you speak to them, there is a world of a difference mimizroch lemayrev. Rabbosai, we today are in quarantine. Every one of us today is in this matzav of the Alhamikdash Loy Savoy Ad Milois Yimei Tahara. We're all in the situation of the Mikdash Loy Savoy until the Milois, until they give the signal, all is clear. But the question is, who do we identify with? Do we identify with the Yoledes, who acknowledges that this is a process, that this is a necessary step to go forward into she gets a Mazel Tov. This is an incredible experience. No, part of the experience of having a baby is you have labor pains, and you have this tumor, and there are these uncomfortable situations that you have to deal with. That's the way Hashem made the world. Why is it like that? We don't know, but that's how it is. Or are we like the Metzora that is in Avelos, has his hair grow wild, rips his clothing, is in a state of anxiety, is in a state of tsar? Who do we identify with? And the answer is, it's up to you. It's up to us. You can make out of the situation whatever you want. There's no halacha here. There's no halacha. I mean, Rachmanos, there are people that are on Avelis. Besides that, the agony of how many people have been lost from us. But put that aside for a moment. Let's put the general matzav of Klal Yisrael. It's all what you make out of it. In the Torah, there are two people that are in quarantine in this week's parasha. One is Besimcha. This is a process that's going to take us forward to much greater heights. And then there is the person that's in anxiety, that's in a very difficult matzav. We're in isolation. Are we like the Yoledes or are we like the Mitzora? It's all what we make out of it. If we apply ourselves and look at the benefits, look at the opportunities that are present, and build upon it, and grow from the experience, then we are the Yoledes. And it can be said to us, Mazel Tov. But if we're going to let this consume us, and torture us, and eat us up, then we're going to be like the Mitzora. And the Mitzora is not a happy man. He's no happy camper. We're Badad Yeshev, Michus the Machane Moshavai, Tomei Yikra, Roisho Yefarua, Begadav Yeh, Parum, he has to go rip his clothing. It's all what you make out of the situation. Okay?
Rabbi, this, Levine,
yes.
Rabbi Levine, I think I mentioned to you last week or 3 weeks ago, the Gematria Badad is Yud. So if you have a machshava that you would like to daven with a minyan, is mitzarfel hakadosh baruch hu mitzarfel ma'isa. So the bada becomes
the machshava is the ma'isa. Okay, interesting.
But it says the yud bada yeshev, the yud.
The bada yeshev, you can have a minyan by yourself. You yourself is a minyan of a machshava. Your own machshava is a minyan. Okay, let's go to another idea. Everything relates to the same situation. There's a very big question. What in the world is there a need to mention here that uvayoyim hashmini yimol b'sar or losay? You know, hello, that's not the topic of discussion. The topic of discussion is a woman is a yoledes. We want to know the law. She's tamei for 7 days. 33 days she's tahira. The keva is 40 and 33. Why does the Torah have to throw in Daber Obnei Yisrael Leimor Yishoki Yisajiv Yolda Zochar V'Tamashiv Asyamim Kimei Nidas Devoisa Titma? Oh, Uvayoyim Hashmini Yimol Besar Lasai. Thank you very much. Why only Uvayoyim Hashmini? Why don't you say, and on the 13th year is a bar mitzvah boy, Mazel Tov, and then later when he's 18 years old, he'll get married. Excuse me? What are you throwing in? Who asked the Pasuk to throw in any mention about Bris Mila? You can throw in everything you want. You'll talk about it's time to Kiddush Levana. It's time for Pesach. I mean, what is this doing in the middle of the parasha of Isha Ki Sazria? It's totally out of context. What's going on over here? So I want to say a few ideas. Number one, the Pasuk over here is teaching you about quarantine. A woman is Temeya Shivas Yamim. Just like Kimei Nidas Devoisa Titma. She has to be like a Nida who's pushed away for 7 days. But you know, there's also a need to do a Bris Mila. The Torah is coming to teach you by mentioning Bris Mila. Bris Mila should not be done during those first 7 days of quarantine. The Torah could have said that the Bris Mila should be done on day seven. Why not day seven? Why not day five, day three? You'll tell me all this medical information, I'll put that aside. Why? No. The Torah is telling you day eight. After the primary days of quarantine are over, then is when Bris Mila can first be performed. What is it coming to teach you? By mentioning Bris Mila comes on day 8, it's teaching you the essence of being pushed away, of a nida. A woman gives birth. The Torah says she's Timea. The Torah says that she is in quarantine. A woman who is a nida is pushed out of the house. She has a baby. For whatever reason, having a child brings with her a contamination, which we force her to be pushed away. Part of being pushed away is to accept the pain of being pushed away. Don't reject the experience of being pushed away. Life goes on as normal. Think about it. If the halacha would be that a woman, that the bris mila takes place on day 5 or day 7 or any of the first 7 days, then what kind of bris is a very happy event? Sos onoichi al im rosecha kimoitse shalol rav. A bris mila is a very great moment of celebration. If the halacha would demand that the bris mila take place during the first 7 days of birth, that would mean the bris mila would take place while she was in quarantine. She gives birth to the baby. She's a nida. A nida means pick yourself up, get out of the house, because your presence in this home is going to contaminate everything that's in this home. Tana Chazal, time of the Torah, they lived al taras hakodesh. A woman who was a nida would leave the home. She would live in a separate place for those 7 days because she would contaminate everything in the home. You're a nida, you gave birth to a baby, you're no different than a nida. Get out. Go into quarantine. Okay, I'm in quarantine. What do I do in quarantine? We have a celebration. We have a bris mila. One of the greatest celebrations of life. Sos onoichi al imroi secho kimoitse shalarov al manemar am bris mila. Oh, you're having a celebration. You're playing musical instruments. You're distracted. You're distracted from your quarantine. No. That's not the purpose of quarantine. The purpose of quarantine is to reflect, is to think, is to accept that there is a problem. If you have been pushed away for 7 days, Hashem is speaking to you. Now, every time a woman is a nida, she has to go through that experience. When a woman gives birth, she also has to go through that experience. And that experience is there for a reason. The Torah did this. The Torah wants her to be in a state of reflection. You're not part of normal society. You're not a member of your home. A woman, ikeres habayis, a woman's place is in the home. When a woman is a nida, that is a terrible, traumatic experience to be a nida. To be told to leave her home, her mokaim. Go tell a man to leave his home for 1 day. It's not going to go off easy. And the reason why men do not become a nida is because a man could never survive 1 day being a nida. Only a woman who's a good-natured person can experience this experience of being pushed away from their home for 7 days. So the woman over here, you tell her out of the house, it's like a Rabbi Yisrael Salanter event. A convention for all the Balei Musar. You go into Hisboididus for 7 days. What do you do in Hisboididus? Oh, there's no Sephira. You can listen to music. You can watch movies. You can have virtual celebrations. You can have all different types of food. A million things to distract you. No, that's not the purpose of Hisboididus. The purpose of Hisboididus is to reflect. Reflect. When the Torah injects out of nowhere, Uvayoyim Hashmini Yimol Besar or Losoy, it's not just telling you something, oh, guess what? Bris Mila is on day 8, and the Bar Mitzvah is in the year 13, and the wedding will be in the 18th year of this child's life. And by the way, don't forget to do Kiddush Levana. What is this, a joke? Uvayoyim Hashmini Yimol Besar or Losoy? Uvayoyim Hashmini Besar or Losoy is coming to teach you that during those 7 days of quarantine, there are no celebrations. There's no monkey business. There's no music. There's no joy in being in quarantine. Reflect. reflect of what you're supposed to do. When it's over, then life gets back to normal. But when you are in hispoididus, cut out the nonsense. The pasuk uvayoyim hashmini is defining what it means v'tome'o shivas yamim kimei nidas divoysa. You're tameya for 7 days, just like a nida. A nida means get out. And when you're out, it doesn't mean party and have a good time and drink beer. It means reflect. And when it's over, uvayom hashmini, you'll get back to celebration. You'll get back to have all your creature comforts and you'll resume life like the way it was meant to be. Now, obviously, today, we're not on this level, okay? Who's not fooling anyone here? We're not on this level that when you're sitting in quarantine today, is you're supposed to go and be depressed and sit and watch funerals the whole day. Chas v'shalom, that's not the derech today. Today, adrabba, today the rabbanim are telling everyone is you should listen to music, you should be happy, you should live a regular life, like just enjoy yourself because you need it for your mental health. However, let us at least not forget that if the Ribbono Shel Olam has done this, this didn't have to happen. Since 1918, in 102 years, nothing like this happened. In 102 years, nothing, didn't have to happen. This was the Yad Hashem. If this has happened, and no one knows why, I'm not making up any stories here, no one can possibly know why this happened, but if you're an Orthodox Jew, you have to have emunah that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he orchestrated this should happen. And he's telling us, reflect. This is a moment of Musar. We enjoy ourselves. We're not on the madrega of this woman here. Let's not make any mistake. We're not on her level. We're not coming to fool anyone here. We have to enjoy ourselves in quarantine. But just because you enjoy yourself, know the boundaries of how far you go. Reflect, absorb the musar of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not a time to celebrate. Now's not the time to celebrate. Uvayom hashmini yimol besar olasai. When you get out and life goes back to normal, you'll get back to the celebration. But now is not yet yom hashmini. Now we're still in the 7 days. Now is the time to listen to the musar of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, another idea. Another idea, like I told you. All roads lead to Rome. When you're in this matzav already for over a month and you're losing your mind, everything is only one color, corona. Everything looks like corona. Everything, look at the pasuk, it's all the same. Rashi here says, why is this a different idea? Why is bris milah on day 8? In general, why day 8? Why not on day 7? So Rashi says, it's not proper that everyone in the world should be besimcha. And the parents who are the Balei Simcha should be Bitzar. Because according to the Torah's law, okay, this is not the way we halacha today. Today there are many layers of rabbinic enactments, but Me'ikar Hadin, a woman who gives birth, she is also Labala. She has to separate from her husband for 7 days. On day 8, she's permitted. She once again is permitted to be with her husband. So it's not right that the bris milah should take place during the 7 days of separation where she is tortured. She has to be distant from her husband. We'll wait until she once again is allowed to be reunited, to be together with her husband. She also should be in a matzav of simcha. Again, today doesn't apply because today a woman who gives birth is not permitted to go back to her husband for much longer than 7 days, but at least in biblical law, she would be permitted technically, and therefore now she'll be besimcha. Okay, that is the simple reading of the drasha of Chazal. Now there's another Chazal, an entirely different chazal that tells us the reason why a bris milah takes place on day 8 is to guarantee that a child experiences a full Shabbos. Child has, not a full Shabbos, but at least a child has, he has the taste of Shabbos. Friday night, he'll have to have at least a Friday night. The child is born on the end of Shabbos during Shalosh Seudos, then the bris will then be the next Shabbos morning. So he's guaranteed to go through a Lil Shabbos. But if a bris meal would take place on day seven, then there's no guarantee that a child will go through Shabbos. The baby is born, let's say, at the end of Sunday. Let's say the baby is born Sunday. The baby is born on a Sunday. So when is the seventh day? Friday. The baby is born Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The baby can have the bris milah on Friday. The baby is born on a Sunday. Then the bris milah will take place on Sunday morning. That means the child will have a bris milah without having gone through the experience of at least a Friday evening. It's not a whole Shabbos, but it's at least a guarantee. When the bris milah takes place on the eighth day, it is a guarantee that the child has at least passed through Friday evening. If the baby would have a bris milah on day 7, then the baby will be born on a Sunday, and any time on Sunday, we could have the bris milah Friday morning, which means he did not go through a Lil Shabbos. Now, I want to take these two ideas, which are completely independent, and put them together. The first idea was the reason why bris milah takes place on the eighth day is to guarantee that the father and the mother are reunited. They are besimcha. They can be with one another. The laws of nida on a biblical level are over. They're mutar, isha mutaris labal, they're besimcha. They're reunited. The second halach independent is the baby should at least go through a Lel Shabbos. Let's make a drosha, and take these two Maimari Chazal and combine them. The baby has a bris milah on the eighth day to guarantee that the parents, that the child's mother and father experience together a Lil Shabbos. Not that they're mutter, then Adrabba, they're not mutter, they're not allowed to be together because that Lil Shabbos doesn't, there's no guarantee that they're mutter on Lil Shabbos. Because if the baby is born in the middle of the week, that Friday night, they're not permitted to be with one another. But at least they're home together and they eat the Friday night meal together. Does a woman like Ner Shabbos? Shalom bayis. Because Friday night, what happens Friday night? Friday night, a woman lights Ner Shabbos because the husband comes home from work and they eat together, and we want to make sure they can see each other and they can see the food. They have a relationship. They talk to each other. Just because a woman is in nida doesn't mean she doesn't talk to her husband. So what happens? A whole week, it's very common, a man and a woman, they each have their own independent lives. They work. Husband works, wife works. When does the typical husband-wife eat together? Friday night. Okay, there are some couples eat every night, eat dinner every night together. I don't know, but many people are very, very busy. But many couples, I mean, I think it's pretty normal, healthy marriage is the very least that a husband and wife sit down at the table together is Friday night. And what do? Friday night, they talk. Hello, how are you? What happened this week? You look at each other. They had a baby. They're now going to take this child and be machnis the baby libris. They're about to raise a Jewish child. when you raise a Jewish child, the most important thing is both parents should be on the same team. This is the famous Vart, maybe Mayevsky told me, I don't remember who told this, is by Ben Soirer Umoire. It says there, Einenu Shemea Bekoileinu. Okay, the Yukim, I don't remember the details, but the details in the parasha Ben Soirer Umoire is they have to, both parents have to speak the same language. When a father says one thing and the mother says something else, and there is a conflict in the approach of raising the child is all confused. My mother says do this, my father says do this, so what am I supposed to do? It destroys the upbringing of a child when the child is getting mixed signals from each parent. The goal is both parents together as a team work together and deliver to the child one common message, one approach to life. That is critical in raising a child. Therefore, before the parents bring the child into the bris, the covenant, the ois bris kodesh, and raise this child to be a member of society, you better make sure you're on the same team. That both of you come together and have the same agenda for this person. And the way to guarantee that the parents come together and talk about the plan and make a plan is if the baby will have the bris milah on day 8. Because if the baby is born on day 8, do you know what that means? It guarantees that the mother and the father will eat dinner together Friday night. There'll be a Shalom Zohar. That's what it really guarantees. Friday night. It guarantees. And what is the advantage of a Friday night more than any other night of the week? Because Friday night you light candles. And the purpose of the candles is Shalom Bayis. Is that the husband and wife should be at peace with one another to come together and establish a plan. And then you can be machnis, your new addition, into Klal Yisrael. Okay, another quick idea. Chazal said the reason why we have a bris milah on the 8th day is that the parents should be happy. They should be happy. They should be reunited. Question. We have a general rule that Chazal have no right to make a takana that is, it is directly keneged what it says in the Torah. When Chazal make takonos, their takonos cannot be keneged a blatant pasuk. If the pasuk says something is permitted, they cannot come along and make a takon and say that it's forbidden out of a chumrah. You can make chumras, but your chumras cannot go and contradict an open pasuk in the Torah. We have a problem. How could Chazal say not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? It's a struggle. So the answer is, they didn't tell you not to blow shofar in Russia when it falls out on Shabbos. When it falls out on Shabbos. So the answer is, not every year, only once in a while. we're not coming to tell you not to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah every single year. When it falls out on Shabbos, then we tell you not to blow shofar. And also there's a remez, because it says in the pasuk, zichra in teruah. You always got to work around. Whenever Chazal seem to make a takana not to do something, you always have to find a workaround to make sure that it's not keneged an open pasuk. For example, are you allowed to take ribbis from a non-Jew? The pasuk says explicitly that you are. La nochri sashich. So could Chazal come along and make a takana that you're not allowed to, as a chumrah, you should not get too familiar with the technique of lending money by ribbis with Jews, so don't do it even with a non-Jew. Can Chazal do that? It says in the pasuk explicitly, "Lanochri sashach." Okay, so you have to deal with this in every unique situation. But the question over here is, you got a problem. Chazal came along, and they made takonos in the laws of nida in taharos hamishpacha that do not allow a husband and wife to be together on the 8th day after birth. It's a Meferish Rashi. Chazal tell us the reason why Bris Milah is on day 8 is so that it should not be everyone else in the world is happy and the parents are sad, because the parents can't be together for the first 7 days. So therefore, let's make the Bris Milah on day 8 so the parents can be happy. So how can Chazal come along and make an elaborate set of takanos that prohibit a man and woman to be permitted to one another on day 8 after Bris Milah without going into all of the halachos, when it's a blatant violation of what it says over here in the pasuk, that there should be besimcha? The answer is, if Chazal tell you, here Chazal are giving you a reason, they should be besimcha. Other psukim doesn't say what the reason is. Here it says besimcha. If Chazal made takonos that the laws of Nida are super duper complex bizman hazeh, and there are many complications that we have today that we did not have in ancient times, and therefore the situation demands that a man and woman separate for an extended period of time, and they made this takon, and the result is that on day 8, a husband and wife are forbidden one to another. If this is what Chazal want us to do, this is the greatest simcha. This is simcha. If this is what the rabbis declare should be done, there is no greater simcha in listening to what your rabbi tells you to do. Here Chazal say, it can't be that everyone is besimcha and they are sad. Okay, if the halacha is on day 8, they're permitted in Echanami, then that's correct. But if the reason why the Rabbanan say that there should be separation for more than 7 days because of the complex laws of Hilchas Nida, and it was necessary to make these halachas, listening to what the Rabbanim say, that is simcha. That is simcha. And this lesson is so relevant today, because today the rabbis have told us, don't daven with a minyan. Stay home, shelter in place, don't say Kaddish if you have yard site, don't go to shul, don't do this mitzvah, don't do that mitzvah. They've told us all these bizarre things, and we look at them and like, are you out of your mind? Don't do this, don't do that, do this and do that. We're not used to this. It's disturbing. It's not what we're accustomed to, and we don't want to listen to you. We don't want to listen to you because it gives us pain. It gives us tsar to do something that we're not used to doing. Well, go look at this pasuk in the Torah here. Uvayoyim hashmini yimol besar orlosai. Shelo yihyu. It should not be that everyone is besimcha and they are betsar. But today, they're also bitzar today also. No, if the Rabbanan told you to do this, that gives you simcha. So it's not a violation to expand the laws of Hilchas Nida, even though they're going to be asr to one another. Everyone else is mutter, they're asr. Because since this is what the Rabbanan told you to do, this is simcha. And therefore, it's a musar haskel, that if this is what the halacha is, mo Hashem ulokecha shol me'imach, this should give you simcha. I know someone, you know, you have to do what is Hashem's will. What does Hashem want from you? I remember many years ago, there was a fellow, he used to lay in shul. He wasn't too good. He really was. He made mistakes. You know, it was his little thing. He used to lay. And whatever, he lay. It was a very small minion, he lay. And then there was another guy, and he lay in another shul, and he was a mumche she'en komo. He never, never, ever, ever makes a mistake. And he's a master. And he wasn't such a nice guy, that I can tell you. He wasn't such a nice guy. And So there was 1 week where he, in his regular scheduled location, there was a bar mitzvah. And I think he lands in a few places every week. And it was he had a mazel that all the places that he landed, he couldn't land that week because there's a bar mitzvah, there was an ufruf, so he was told this week, do us a favor, you can't land. So he felt very bad that I have not missed a week in years. I did not miss laning a parsha from the Torah in years. How could I lose my winning streak? So he came to this shul, teeny little shul, and there was this boy who laned whatever he laned, and he basically clobbered him. And he said to him, get out of here, I'm going to lane this Shabbos because I don't want to lose my winning streak. I don't want to lose my winning streak. I haven't missed a parasha in years. So step aside. Excuse me? This young kid spent many hours preparing. He doesn't lane perfect. He makes a lot of mistakes. Where do you come because of your winning streak to step on someone who spent the whole night, who spent the whole week preparing because, you know, he wants to learn how to lane? Where do you come to step on someone because of your winning streak? What is this here? Is this what Hashem wants from you? Your winning streak? You didn't miss a week in years, so you can't go, you can't leave this world without missing a week? Are you out of your mind? In his mind, yeah, that's what counts. That's not what counts. What counts is what Hashem wants from you. That the Rabbanan told us what Hashem wants from you, and that is what the joy of life is. Doing what you are supposed to do. Uvayoyim Hashmi mol besar olasoy. Everyone shouldn't be betzar and you should be besimcha. But today, we're not the husband and wife, they're not besimcha. We are besimcha because the Rabbanon told us to separate because things in life are complicated. And if they want us to separate, if that's what they want, that's what they feel is Hashem's desire for us in our day and age, then we are besimcha. That is the simcha. The simcha is doing what you're supposed to do, not what you think is the right thing to do. To do what you are told by people who are in a position to know better, what they tell you to do, that is the ultimate simcha. Okay, we're getting late. I want to finish up with one quick thing. We have a few minutes. Few things. Let me just jump to the chase. There's one thing I want to talk about. The process of tahara. In the process of a mitzorah, when the mitzorah achieves his tahara, there's a very bizarre ceremony that takes place. The kohen comes, he sees that he's tohar, he declares him, he tests him, and he's negative. Okay, they take the test, they take a swab, take it to the laboratory, and the test comes back negative. Mazel tov, you're no longer a mitzvah. It's time to come out of quarantine, isolation. But not so fast. We have a ceremony. What's the ceremony? The ceremony is get a hold of two birds. Get a hold of an eitz eres, a piece of cedar wood. Find yourself a talas, a worm, talas shani, a worm. You'll dye some thread, the color of its blood red, a cord of red thread, and hyssop, azoif. Take the cord of red, tie it around the eitz eres and the azoif, and take one bird on one side. Take the other bird and dip it and slaughter it. Slaughter that poor bird. Do a maisa shechita. And collect the blood in a utensil. Then take the other bird, the living bird, the surviving bird, and dip it in the blood of the dead bird, together with the eitz eres, eitz of shnei toilas, and sprinkle it upon the mitzvah. Then release the bird and let it fly off al pnei hasadeh. Now my question to you is, look what you've just done to this bird. Forget about the person. Look what you have done to this poor bird. This poor bird needs a psychiatrist and a psychologist. You've traumatized the poor bird. You have here two birds. They're best friends. They learned in cheder together. Get two birds. They went to kindergarten together. They went to cheder. They went to high school. They went to college. They both got their PhD together, the two birds. They both danced at each other's weddings. These two birds, they've been lifelong friends for decades. These two birds. And what do? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You pick one of the two birds, you pick it up, and you slaughter it. Goodbye, good luck. You then take the surviving bird, you grab by its neck, and you dip it in the blood of his best friend, his lifelong friend. Now, if you don't need a psychiatrist and a shrink after that, then I don't know what. And then, have a nice day. You send it off. What kind of frame of mind do you think that bird is going to be in for the rest of its life? So what will you tell me? Yeah, the Torah doesn't care about birds. Couldn't give a hoot about the mental health of a bird. That's a lie. You know how I know it's a lie? The Torah cares about the mental health of a bird? Because the mitzvah called Shiluach HaKein, Shaleach Tishalach Es Ho'em V'es HaBonim Tikach Loch. Okay? There's a parsha of Shiluach HaKein. Send away the mother bird. Do not let the mother bird witness the taking hostage or the abduction of her chicks or her eggs. The trauma of a mother watching the baby eggs, the eggs or her chicks being snatched away in her presence is so painful and so horrible. The Torah does not tolerate the trauma that you will inflict upon the mother bird, and send it away. Don't let it witness the horror of her children being taken away in front of her eyes. Have rachmonos on her mental health. We have a stira. When it comes to the mitzvah shluach hakein, the Torah has rachmonos on the mental health of the bird. When it comes to the mitzvah, couldn't care less. These two friendly birds, one bird is slaughtered, the other bird is dipped in the blood of its friend and then traumatized and sent away. What's going on over here? My high. The answer is, unfortunately, this is necessary. Now, we talk about the mitzvah. We don't talk about, in the Torah, only talks about the good news of the mitzvah. The mitzvah survives. Does it ever happen, though sometimes it's not always good news? The mitzvah is put in quarantine and he never gets better. He dies. He's put in quarantine. He's locked up. The Kohen says, you are tameh. You are sick. You are spiritually sick. You are physically sick. You are tameh. And nothing ever happens. He remains tummy forever, and he dies in a state of tumma, never to re-emerge. There is no guarantee that the mitzvah will ever get out of quarantine. He can remain in quarantine until he dies. The Torah only talks about the happy case. We always think you learn the parashas of mitzvah as a child. It comes to an end. Yeah, big deal. He's a mitzvah. Very good. That's saras. He's locked up. He's in quarantine. Okay, very nice. But the day comes when, you know, everything returns to normal. Guess what? That's not the real world. Sometimes someone has saras, has leprosy, and he's a mitzora, and he remains a mitzora for the rest of his life, and he dies in his matzif. If a person merits that the saras disappears and he comes out, you know what that means? He is a survivor. He could have been like this for the rest of his life. He could have died in this matzif of being a mitzora. If he is so fortunate that the tzaraas goes away, it clears up, and the kohen comes with a kit to test him, to put a swab in his nose, in his nostrils, or to prick his finger and do the test. Ah, negative! You're a lucky man, because not everyone walks out of this. Not everyone survives. You are a survivor. In order that he should remember for the rest of his life that he is a survivor, you know what we do? We recreate the survivor scenario. It's not very pleasant, but the Torah says this has to be done. Don't ever forget that you're a survivor. And you know how we're going to remind you that you're a survivor? When you get out of quarantine, we're going to reenact what happened. We have here two birds. One bird's going to live and one's going to die. Who are you? Are you going to be the dead one or are you going to be the living one? It could have gone either way. When you went into quarantine, when you got tzaras, mi yichye mi yamos. There's no guarantee you're getting better. You'll live out. You'll die in quarantine. You'll die with the tzaras. Leprosy is no picnic. You're going to die with tzaras. Who says you're going to live? Oh, you got lucky. Look at that. You got lucky. You survived. You're the living bird. But you know something? There are other people who didn't make it. We're going to dip you in their blood. We're going to dip you, the survivor, in the blood of all those people who didn't make it. And when we send you back into society, you'll go back into society with their blood on your body. Don't ever forget that you survived, but others didn't. And take that with you the rest of your life. Now, don't take it as guilt. Okay, you know, you're going to come, you're going to shoot me down because what am I telling you? Telling you to live with the Holocaust survivors. Some of them couldn't function because of the guilt of being a survivor. No. That's not what we're looking for. Chas v'shalom, to live with a guilt complex. Why me? Why did I survive, not someone else? You have to live a healthy life, but you can't forget. You can't forget what happened. You can't forget that it could have been worse. It could have been that you would not come out of this. It could have been that you would have been like the other bird. And you have to leave this matzav with that blood to remember what happened. Abba Yisai, we're in this a very long time already. And it's not letting up. It just doesn't want to go away. Okay, it just doesn't want to go. Nach a week. Wait. It's like the Mitzvah. The Kohen comes. He looks. I don't know. Another week. And then when the person finally is a Mitzvah, he has to wait. It's going on for a very long time, and we really don't have any clarity at this point of when this is going to end. But we have to prepare for the end. That we do, that we have to already begin to prepare that when this thing is over, we're survivors. Anyone that comes out of this, there are people, every person, no matter what age you are, no matter what situation, there's a person just like every single other that didn't survive. People didn't survive. Every age, every type, every gender, every matzav, there's a parallel. Why him and not me? Why me, not him? Same age, same makeup, same body, did the same things, did better, did less. He didn't go, he didn't socialize on Purim. He stayed home. He didn't go anywhere. I know people didn't go anywhere. They locked themselves up on Purim. And now they're fighting for their lives. Why? And other people, they were dancing like maniacs and doing everything wrong that you can possibly do, and nothing happened to them. No one has any good answer for anything today. Why me, not him? If you come out of this, you're a survivor. You're a survivor. You got to remember that. That creates an achrayus, a responsibility to yourself, and also it creates an achrayus to reflect upon the people. So many, hundreds of people died. I read yesterday in one of the magazines that the Chevra Kadisha, they did this month 600 tahiras. So that means, what does that mean exactly? I don't know exactly, but it seems like, I think he said normally we do 200 tahiras, and we did in the same period of time 600 tahiras. So that means that this Chevra, 400 people at least from this Chevra, they can count 400 people that died because of Corona. 400 Shomrei Torah u'mitzvos alone from this Chevra Kadisha. And that's not everyone. That's just one Chevra Kadisha. I assume it includes a large chunk. It's at least 400, okay? It's at least 400 right there. And you add up the numbers, who knows? I don't know what the numbers are. Who knows? Is it 1,000? Is it less? Is it more? I don't know. But why then not us? I mean, what's going on? This is the sending away of the two birds. Two birds, lifelong friends. One is slaughtered and is dipped in the blood of the other and sent away. When you go back to return where you came from, Al-Pnei HaSodeh, you got to remember Mitzayra. You got Tsaras. It could have ended up that you would die with Tsaras. Hashem had Rachmanis on you. He allowed you to heal from your Tsaras and re-enter society. There are other people who get Tsaras and are quarantined that don't ever return Al-Pnei HaSodeh. And when Hashem selected you to return Al-Pnei HaSodeh, He has a mission for you and demands from you to preserve the legacy of those who didn't survive. Rabbi Sai, we lain this week Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. We don't lain the Haftorah of the Arba Mitzrayim. We lain the Haftorah of Hashamayim Kisi, the Oretz Hadoim Ragli. And in this Haftorah, when we're reflecting, when we are reflecting, the end, we're looking forward to the end. Look at the amazing psukim. The amazing psukim of the Haftorah. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Kriyas HaTorah L'Rosh Chodesh Shechal B'Shabbos. And what does it say? It says, Koyamar Hashem HaShemayim Kis V'Yaretz Hadoim Ragloi. Eze vayis asher tivnuli ve'eze mokoim minuchasi. What kind of bias are you going to build for me? What kind of mokoim will be my mokoim minuchasi? All the shuls are locked. It's like a beis hamenuga. Every shul now is a beis hamenuga. The chiltzu ho'avonim. You got to take away all the stones and bring new stones to rebuild the shul. It's a beis hamenuga. You can't walk into shul now. It's illegal to go into a shul. It's a beis hamenuga. In our minds, we're preparing to return. We're preparing new stones, new earth. We're preparing new things. And the Ribbono Shalom is saying to us, you're coming into a new month, you're going to return What kind of new makom when you bring the new earth and the new stones to rebuild this makom? Eize vayis asher tivnuli. Ve'eize makom menuchasi. What kind of makom, what improvements are you going to make when you return, when you re-enter, when you come back home? It should be Chodesh Tov. Iyar is Ani Hashem Roifecha. Aleph Yud Resh. If you have Nekudos, you only have one Yud. Aleph Yud Resh. Ani Yud is Hashem Roifecha. I am Hashem who heals you. We should be Zoiche to a Chodesh of Yeshuais, Refuais, Nechomois for us and for the entire Klal Yisrael. Say Mizmar Tehillim. Shramale sesonai el harim anyavo ezri meim adonai osei shman v'aretz al yitei lamod raglecha al yinum shemrech yinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shemer yisrael adonai shemrecha adonai tzilchot yad yiminecha yoyim ha-shemesh lo yakeg avrech v'alayla adonai yishmarcha mikol ra yishmar es nafshecha adonai yishmar tzeischa uvayecha me'ata v'ad olam achinu kol beis yisrael ha-resunu batzor v'ashivya ha-imdin bein bayom bein bayibosha Hamokoim Yirachim Aleim, the Yotzeim Mitzara Lirvacha, or Meafela Loero Mishibu Lugula, Hashto Bagolo, Vizman Kariv and Neymar, Amen. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful Chodesh, Simchois, Brochois, Yeshuas, and Nechomois for all of us and for the entire Klal Yisrael. Be well.
And it's the Yahrzeit today of Rabchaim Vital, and it's the Yahrzeit of the Yaidits of Rabbi